Good evening and welcome to WGR's coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft. And coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft on WGR is presented by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Northtown Automotive Group, Northtown Automotive, official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by the Quilted Squirrel. Great websites, more leads, real growth for your business. Learn more at tqsmarketing.com. All right, well, good evening, everybody. We are still an hour away. Derek Kramer here with me. We've got Zach Jones. TJ Luckman will be behind the board here momentarily as well. And we've got a full night of draft coverage of day one, night one, round one of the NFL draft. Well, let's just talk about the Bills for the next, I don't know, what did we say, 5 hours, guys? What do you say?
There we go.
5 hours, hopefully?
Hopefully.
That's brave. Hopefully.
If it was, you guys think it's going to be less than that? You think like maybe a meteor or something hits Wisconsin and we end up just like maybe getting out of here like nine-ish?
Nine-ish would be cool.
Nine-ish? What, 9 a.m.? Awesome.
You know, one of the things that has always actually bothered me quite a bit about the NFL draft, particularly the first round, is this need for every team, especially the number one pick, to just take the whole time.
Yeah, nope, that's illegal for the first overall pick.
You know who you want. Just make the damn pick.
And so, ready? I'm going to say it now publicly on air. If the Tennessee Titans take more than 8 minutes to announce Cam Ward,
they're going to take all 15. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, like, kick Roger Goodell in the shin.
It's frustrating.
Like, that's it.
Because it is for the entire first round. It's not just the first
something
pick. It's everybody.
Every single person. Yeah. And listen, I mean,
it's
I get it.
Revenue. We know why they do it.
Sometimes
it's still
you're
stupid.
And teams are waiting. Maybe they're going down to the wire about a trade, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, so welcome. I'm excited. I was saying this to somebody today. That they you know, I get questions all the time. Like, what's it like, you know, covering the NFL draft all day? And I'm like, it's sort of like I never took the bar, so I guess this is a bad example. It's not a personal example, but it's
love
sort of
this.
Like
ready go.
Sort of like cramming for the bar, and now we get to the bar, and here we are, and the bar exam, by the way, if I wasn't being specific enough, not the bar where I'm gonna go get a beer after this, but it's a lot of cramming, a lot of random information that is going to immediately leave my head on Saturday around 3 o'clock. And I'll tell you, it shocks me every year when I do this, that player will get picked and random information about that player immediately pops into my head. All of a sudden, I remember their exact height and weight, where they went to high school, and what damaging thing happened to them in their childhood and parents.
Oh, and ESPN's going to be all over
that. Oh, you know that.
Those
were some good tweets I saw.
So. Yeah, so the better part is, here's the one piece that you forgot, Nate, that half of what you cram for ends up being wrong.
Well, I mean, I cram the player information.
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
All the player information, but like anything of like predictions of where these players end up going.
Oh,
the next thing you know, I'm going to print the mock draft out that I did for the website here at WGR550.com, and I'm going to grab a lighter. And the minute that the mock draft gets blown up by like the fourth overall pick or something ridiculous like
Chicago,
that,
Chicago baby,
I'm just going to go ahead and like grab a lighter, go outside, and symbolically actually light the mock draft on fire.
It's good. It's good. It's healthy. It's very healthy.
It probably will be. It'll probably be so therapeutic.
I'm just ready to go.
To burn all of my ideas.
I'm just ready to go. I want to see if there's trades. Chicago, Diana Rossini was reporting that they may be trying to get up from 10 to 5 to maybe get, well, not maybe. It's almost definitely for Ashton Gentry.
If you trade up for a running back.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I respect Ben Johnson, though.
Great
so
take.
Adamant that he's like, I need Ashton Gentry. I know this class might be generational in terms of running back depth. I need Gentry. Like, come on, man. You don't. Amarian Hampton would be there at 10. And even that's a little rich.
Trading up for a running back in the Lord's year 2025, in fairness, they stink and always stink. So, you know.
It would be like three off seasons in a row where the Bears quote unquote won. They added this freak offensive weapon. Look what they've done. It would be a few off seasons in a row. And I'm somebody that's bought it the last 2 years where I'm like, Bears might be really cool.
Yeah,
this would be maybe the bridge too far where I'm like, Okay, like what are we doing here?
I invested a lot of stock in the Caleb Williams dynasty and was burned quite badly year one. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that turns around. So you know, obviously we'll talk a lot about the Bills tonight. You know, because that's what we'll do. But anything tonight that you guys are like you're talking about, you know, potential move up from the Bears from 10 to 5, which again I just think would be hilarious to do for a running back, but. Any players, moves, teams you guys are interested in? Anyone, any takes you've got about what you think might happen tonight or what you hope might happen tonight?
I'm intrigued to see what happens with this quarterback class. Typically, teams will demonstrate if it's not a class up to par, they will draft in respect to it. I don't think this is, what was Kenny Pickett's draft class? Was that 21? I don't think it's that bad. But I do think that it is.
Nothing's that bad.
Nothing's that bad, but maybe 2013.
2013's giving it a run for its money.
Lucky us. But I am interested to see what happens with Shedeur Sanders. What happens with a team's interest in Jackson Dart? Is Jalen Milroe actually going to be a first-round pick? These are all questions that I have, and I'm very interested to see how it shapes up and what the dynamics are, especially because we're a year away from 6 quarterbacks were taken in the top 12. So I want to know what the big boards will look like based on that. How much action is there going to be trading up, trading down, because of the fact that there's not going to be 6 quarterbacks taken in 12 picks?
I think I'm also there with quarterbacks. I don't think Shedeur Sanders is getting taken tonight. I do think he'll wait till round 2.
You think he's going to be a round 2 pick?
I think he's going to be a round 2 guy. He does way too many things average at the NFL level, and I think that it's going to be rough to give credit to teams. I think teams are getting wise to the fact that if you do just a bunch of things average, you're not going to be that good of an NFL quarterback. You might start off really well, but it kind of tapers off pretty quickly. I'd almost feel comfortable kind of comparing his floor/ceiling to Mac Jones in terms of he may come in for Pittsburgh, let's say, early and be really good, and then it kind of just tapers off. I like Dart more. That's not saying a ton, but I like kind of the idea of maybe Pittsburgh, New Orleans at 9 could be interesting for him. And then I'm really interested in maybe some of these falls. Does Tet McMillan really fall because of the quote-unquote giving up on plays? Does he care about the game of football? Does he love football? Or Will Johnson, you know, his health? I'm fascinated in that. And really even maybe the wide receiver position, because to Derek's point, there were so many quarterbacks last year. Last year's wide receiver class – everybody's great. Just go get one. They're all amazing. Where this year, Luther Burden can't run routes. We just mentioned Tet McMillan. He maybe doesn't love the game of football. Matthew Golden, his production kind of sucks, and he's not really 4.29. There's no one to really love, but the way the game is going, I still think we'll see some teams force the receiver pick.
Yeah, I would say if I was looking at anything in this draft that like really interested me, it would be what the order of these wide receivers ends up being and really who gets taken where. You know, I think there's been a lot of discussion about Luther Burden, where he fits in this draft. You know, I think I saw something today. It's like anywhere from 20 to 35, which I think is a pretty large range for a wide receiver in the NFL. So, you know, between where Burden goes, I think Golden, I think Tet McMillan, obviously we're going to, you know, count Travis Hunter in this group of players as well. But 3, 4, is it Luther Burden, the 4th receiver taken? Last year, Ricky Pearsall was the sort of late addition to this, and he wasn't exactly expected to be a first-round pick, maybe a 2nd or 3rd-round pick. He ends up getting, you know, going to San Francisco. That was a surprise. I do wonder if, you know, we talk a lot every year. There's always one or two names that go at the end of the first round that everyone's like, wow, kind of can't believe that guy went there. And I think this might be the one draft we look at and look back and say, I don't think there's any player that could go in this first round that would actually surprise us because of the wide...
The true depth and the range sort of each player.
Correct. And if that's right, could a team still surprise us somehow?
The answer is yes.
I think, yeah. I mean, there's bad general managers everywhere.
Yeah. The absolute answer here is, of course, a team is going to surprise us somehow with some sort of, like, I don't know what they did, but they drank from the stupid juice and they did something incredibly insane. Or they reached on a player that people were kind of like, oh, really? There? All right. Interesting. For example, trading up for a running back. It's an interesting, bold strategy. To trade within the top five to do so even is a bold strategy, considering the position and its landscape in the National Football League. I'm still thrilled at the fact that some of the deepest portions of this draft class are also where the Bills are in most need. And we're talking defensive tackle and the earlier part of the cornerback market. Nate, how many times have we seen it, and we'll name a different corner each time, and we're all still mostly thrilled about the idea. I'm putting away my typical nagging of your Notre Dame hat, and I'm putting it on myself. Benjamin Morrison is one of my favorites tomorrow. Xavier Watts, the same thing. Those are two players I would love for the Bills to add to their secondary.
You know, one thing, we could kind of steer some of the direction of the conversation now to the Bills, which we'll, again, do all night, but... You know, as we've gotten closer and closer to today, you know, and I was even listening on my way in, and I kind of found myself nodding along with Bulldog. It's like, you know, we've all talked so much about defensive tackle, and
it's so deep.
It's an important position for them, and it's definitely up there as one of the positions they need to address early. And again, it's the deepest position in this draft, maybe. But I keep thinking maybe we're not talking enough about edge. And maybe that 30th overall, you know, if Pierce could find his way close, man, he just to me seems like such a game breaking potential type of player. And I loved also their conversation about like maybe it being time to just like take the swing on the character issue guy. I mean,
you've built that room for
you really
in a way a reason to you bring in a quote unquote character risk or red flag guy. You build up that room of the adults or what have you so that when that guy comes in, he's got people there that will kind of push him in the right direction. I said this last year about Adonai Mitchell because of his quote-unquote character concerns. I thought the Bills would be perfect for him with Stephon Diggs, having a few vets on. That'd be perfect. Pierce might be the same thing with Bosa and Rousseau and Epinesa. You have older guys there ready to go. He, though, might be the only guy I would go for in round one that might be there. I don't think Mike Green is there out of Marshall.
I agree.
I don't think Ezra Raku's there.
Yeah.
I hate the idea. I think Shamar Stewart's kind of seems more of a mix, defensive tackle, edge rusher. I don't care. I don't want either. Nick Scorton, I think, is going to be somebody that's probably there later on. If they draft Landon Jackson tonight, I legitimately would be upset.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not a first-rounder.
If they get Landon Jackson for the first round, like that's probably one of the few ways I feel like it would be a quote-unquote screwed up.
Yeah.
I will say, you mentioned Jackson. I think Pearson Jackson is exactly where that chasm is for that next tier of defensive ends and edge rushers.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the guys like Isaraku, Michael Williams, James Pierce, Shamar Stewart. They're all kind of in that second tier of your pass rushers. And then after that, it's Landon Jackson, Nick Scorton, and a bunch of guys.
Jack Sawyer out of Ohio State.
I mean,
the name I'm looking for is probably more going to be a guy we're talking about on Saturday, or maybe, you know, depending on how the board falls, maybe late tomorrow, and that's Swinson out of LSU. Braden Swinson,
yep.
He's the guy. Came in for a visit with Buffalo, and I don't know if you guys watch Brett Coleman, EJ Snyder's kind of breakdowns that they do for the draft and stuff like that. They do their own kind of draft, you know, rankings, and they're huge on Swinson, and he's kind of this guy that he like a raw, good athlete, and that might be something where we get something similar to what the Bills did last year with Javon Solomon, where he's kind of just going to be a rotational player for the Bills year one, maybe hoping to get way more out of year two. I mean, I think Javon Solomon, if I remember right, had like 3 sacks last year, being just a complete rotational guy for them.
And
really only
inactive.
A pass rushing specialist and sometimes inactive. That might be where it goes. It's just this is not a great edge class. And when you're picking at 30, it makes it even worse. I think there's maybe only 2-3 guys where I'm sitting there going, they could be problems. Pierce being one of them, he absolutely could be there at 3. But then it's like Mike Green, who if he gets past Atlanta, I'd be stunned.
Yeah.
Go up and get him.
Well, here's a couple of quick updates just going through the Twitter machine. Ian Rappaport is reporting the Browns And it wasn't just Ian Rappaport. Who's their one of their beat reporters? I forget her name.
Oh, Diana Rossini.
No.
Oh, that was The Athletic. Sorry.
Yeah. Regardless.
Rossini was saying something too.
They're considering a move back out of the number two position.
Absolutely insane.
One would think that's for Travis Hunter.
Absolutely
and
insane.
I mean, yes and no, because Travis Hunter is not going to make the Browns good. The Browns are bad.
That's right.
They should be looking at next year, and they should be trying to move back as far as possible in this draft, so that they could get the requisite the assets only, to be an Arch Manning player next year.
On that, he's not coming out after 1 year. That's my thing. I hope some of these teams are not playing for the idea of March or Arch Madness next year. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Madness.
But in reality,
right to jail, straight
right,
to jail.
Right
you.
To jail.
I
right
like
to jail.
It. Actually,
in reality, right I do. Jail. I do. He's playing 2 years. With that being said, if you're going to do it, you better get a haul. You better make Jacksonville look dumb, because you're right. Travis Hunter's not going to make Cleveland better. He's not going to do that for Jacksonville either. He is, though. I think he is the best prospect to me in this draft.
I disagree on Jacksonville. Jacksonville's really? Not far away.
I never know with them anymore. I don't know if Trevor Lawrence is any good. I don't know about Liam Cohen. This seems to be what Jacksonville is.
To me, they're a team that's not far away. The Browns are the maybe furthest away from relevance of any team in the NFL.
I might actually say that that's not the case. I think that Cleveland is a team that's closer than Jacksonville that has been hampered by quarterback play. Deshaun Watson has been so bad that a good roster has been losing football games with
how
him.
How good is that roster? Everyone keeps talking about how good it is.
I have the defense. Jerry Judy's pretty good.
Their defense, they've got...
Their offensive line has some good pieces
Miles Garrett.
As well.
Miles Garrett. Greg Newsome.
Okay. I don't know. I'm of the mind that...
I think Pittsburgh's closer than Jacksonville.
If it looks like a penguin, if it walks like a penguin, it's probably a penguin.
Oh, that's where I have Jacksonville, though. I can't buy them into them yet.
But, like, at least Jacksonville has had a year or two where you're like, and then, you know, it goes to... But, like... Cleveland, to me, I think is it just every year people do this. They talk about it's a Super Bowl roster 2 years ago. Oh, it's the best roster in football if they have a quarterback.
I'm
well,
not
guess
ready
what?
To
they
say
don't have
that.
A quarterback. Yeah. That kind of matters. So
it does kind of matter, and I think that they're a solid roster.
I think their coach is not good, and I think their GM stinks, and I think they keep holding on to them because the owner decided he was going to take the swing on Deshaun Watson, and he doesn't think the poop's on them. But the poop's on them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know? So, I guess I just look at this draft
the
and I say...
The stank is real.
I think that the Browns... This is where bringing back a coach and GM like the Browns did in kind of what I would guess is a make or break. If they win 4 games again, they're probably firing their head coach and general manager. So why would you let him take the... Why would you let him pick number two? You get as many... assets as you can, because that's a franchise. But again, they went out and re-signed Miles Garrett, which made no sense. That's just, to me, it would have to be so annoying to be a Browns fan.
It probably is so annoying to be a Browns fan.
They're exhausting. The Bills but of the late 2000s.
But I also would want to be the person that says, okay, the best prospect in the NFL draft is probably sitting there in front of us. Can we just take him and make this easy tonight?
I think it's probably where a lot of Browns fans probably sit. It's just
that's where I sit. I'm not.
Well,
a Browns
they did get
fan.
The free Journey concert tonight. So that's
right. That's pretty nice. But I think that's where
they might not be as mad because they're getting to listen to Journey.
But that's also that maybe also where the Browns are sitting too. And to that point of like, let's not make this too difficult.
Don't overcomplicate a simple matter.
It's not the same regime, but it has happened so many times where the Browns trade back. They get all these assets and then botch it. And so maybe it is just, let's just take Hunter. He's going to put a ton of butts in seats. He's going to sell a ton of tickets. His jersey sales are going to be through the roof. Let's just do it. He's going to be awesome. And we'll try again next year.
Because they move him to Baltimore again. I hope there's two teams in Baltimore.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
Because that only favors ownership. That doesn't favor the fans. Yeah. The fans are the ones that get kicked around in that scenario. That's not fair to them.
First of all, we have a Pete Carroll tweet, which, by the way, I did not know he was on Twitter.
He's back on Twitter.
He posted a GIF of The Office when they're all playing, you know, the finger guns.
We could literally replicate it right here, three of us.
We actually could.
He's the most 35-year-old, 75-year-old.
Here's another interesting tidbit. So I saw a tweet from Breece Hall with the emoji of the fingers crossed.
No.
One would assume he's not fingers crossing whoever the Jets are going to draft.
Right.
He's probably going to be available. I wonder if he might be the one candidate tonight in terms of a roster player in the league that gets traded. To me, if you're going to make a trade, Bears, go for Breece Hall. Trade a second for Breece Hall and put him with DeAndre Swift. Like, don't trade up and pay number five overall value, $13 million a year to a rookie running back. Mm-hmm. Give me a break.
Is that where, though, James Cook maybe falls into that conversation, too? Like, I know the Bills love him, but like you mentioned, like, if they give up a second-round pick for Hall and let's say the Jets say no, but they do the same for the Bills, is it maybe too rich for the Bills' blood to not go, you know what? We love him.
A second-rounder? Yeah, you
kind of. Second-round pick?
I mean, if they got a second-round pick offered for James Cook, I would.
That's immediate return on investment. Immediately make that move.
If we heard that the Bears had offered a second-round pick to the Bills for James Cook and said no, we'd probably all be upset
about that. Yeah. I'd be confused, not upset. I'd be like, why not?
That conversation is so fat. The veteran running backs, too. I think you're right. I think Breece Hall might be somebody that could be moved, but there have been rumblings of vet running backs being moved. And, oh, man.
I like that.
If you can get a desperate team, and it does feel like if a team is willing to try to trade up from 10 to 5 to draft a running back, that's desperate. That is.
Yeah.
And especially in the running back class where if this just 25 years ago, we were talking about this running back class being generational. And there's five guys going in round one, and it's unbelievable. Look at all these 1,000-yard rushers coming in today.
Yeah.
And they're trading up five picks to go get one of them? And I love Gentry as a prospect. I do.
I do,
but
too.
But I also love Amarian Hampton. I also love Henderson out of Ohio State. There's a few guys I like.
This is one of the deeper running back classes as well, and this is not going to be one of those things where you should be overpaying to jump to five overall to go grab a running back. It's just not good value.
Like offensive tackle, maybe. I don't know. I don't buy.
There's maybe three positions I'd be willing to trade up for in the first.
Running back is literally other than punter,
probably last. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree. It for me, it's quarterback, edge rusher,
corner, tackle.
No corner. I'm out on corner. I love value of corners in like rounds two and three. I love it.
Yeah, I get it too. I guess where I sit with this corner class is, and we talked a little bit about this off air when we were walking in, you know, Will Johnson, where does a potential fall for him happen, if it happens at all? You know, I think that there are two or three game-breaking defensive backs / corners in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Travis Hunter is, I think, an elite-level corner. I think that's, if I was a team drafting Travis Hunter, that's where I would want him to be playing the majority of his time.
But it sounded like more receiver.
Yeah, we'll see. And, different teams are going to have different opinions on that. But, you know, I think Will Johnson to me is the number two corner in this draft. I think in any other year, in a situation where he's not injured all season and he can't test, he's not running the 40, some of that stuff, some of the question marks because of the draft. Again, I also think this is an interesting really mark for every player at the one or two position at their position group is, especially defensive tackle, corner, offensive tackle, that because of the depth, a team might look at a Will Johnson, a team might look at a Derek Harmon and say, the injury concerns are too vast for me. Siobhan Revelle, another name like...
He's the name I really think about.
To me, he's the second or third corner in this draft, and he might make it out of the first round because of the injuries. And you look at that and say, the only reason that happens, I think in a normal year where you don't have the depth at corner or defensive tackle, teams are going to take those guys in the first round where they were intended to go. But that looks good to me. So,
yeah, we'll see. Revelle, I want to know what happened to him if he didn't tear the ACL. I do think he gives Will Johnson a run for the best, outside of Hunter, the best cornerback in this draft.
I know Jahdae Brown. There's been some conversations about the Bills' interest in Barron. I'm sorry, Jahdae Barron. I'm confused by that a little. I was talking to me and Chris Trapasso. We were on a podcast with Pat Moran a couple days last week.
Yeah.
And we both agreed that out of the top group of corners, he was our least favorite guy.
I think everyone knows him. Hook him. You know, the whole thing. Sure. Age is a bit concerning. And also, he maybe...
Short arms.
He's kind of...
Short arms.
Yeah.
And in the league, an inch, 2 inches... It's the difference between you getting a ball knocked down and in a touchdown.
And also, it really seems like we're leaning towards, for him, nickel cornerback.
He projects as a nickel corner, and it's not the first time I've heard that.
And that's really tough to tell somebody. Yeah, in the first round, we drafted a nickel corner.
And the Bills can't do that. And the Bills can't do that.
No. I love Barron. Hate him for the Bills.
All right, 803-0550 is the number to call. Our continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft continues on. Coming up next, we're going to take a timeout on the other side. We'll keep on getting you ready for this 8 p.m. start to the 2025 NFL Draft on WGR. All right, welcome back to our continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft here on WGR. Nate Geary, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. Let's go to the Wester Hotline, because live from One Bills Drive is our very own Sal Capaccio. Sal, good evening to you. Is the let's get a temperature check. Is it excitement? Any good spreads over there? I mean, give us an update from Press Row at One Bills
Drive. Yes. Listen, the food has arrived. Pizza, chicken wings, tenders, salad, mac and cheese. There's some, I believe, sliders of some sort. I think maybe pulled chicken or something. Oh yeah, we got some food going on here. So that's always great, because we're gonna be here for a while tonight, no doubt. And then the temperature outside. I mean, this is amazing. Yeah. I get to stand outside and talk to you guys right now because it is absolutely beautiful. And Nate, I mean, I know that you brought me on here to tell me about Steve Agnelli and how he might do at Syracuse transferring as a quarterback, but. We could also talk about the draft if you want.
We'll talk draft. My Uncle Mike, who lives in Syracuse, texted me last night about it. And I'm like, hey, what's the scouting report on him? We'll see. I think you guys, he mentioned you guys already named a starter, but maybe he comes in late and swoops in.
You never know, right?
He definitely has more of the Kyle McCord vibe if Syracuse fans are looking for that.
All right, well, that's interesting. Actually, to swing it back to the NFL draft, I do wonder. Carl Jones is in the media room with me from Channel 4. He actually played cornerback at Syracuse, and we talk about Syracuse players sometimes, and Kyle McCord is a player that could factor into this draft a little bit. Not first round, but does a team like the Giants or the Browns or the Saints or the Steelers, do they feel comfortable waiting on a guy like that, or do they have to take one early in this draft? Right? I mean, I think a lot of those things need to be answered tonight, and that's going to obviously impact what happens once you get to the Bills at 30.
So, Sal, not a lot of maybe not historically, but usually by tonight, by 7:30, notable move has already been made, whether it's a shuffling in the first round, someone's looking to get into the top five. We haven't seen that move yet. I'm wondering, from your perspective, do you expect, is this a fireworks draft because the value of trading up is maybe going to be at a little bit lower than years past? There's no big quarterbacks to trade up for. So because of that, you think maybe more wheeling and dealing tonight?
I do, Nate, but not because of the lack of or the number of quarterbacks necessarily. That's part of it. I guess the way I would say it is the uncertainty of this draft is why I think so, right? I mean, I just think they're so uncertain, and there's so many guys here you could say, is he really a first-round talent? Is he not? What are the reports we've been getting? Most teams have less than 15 first-round grades on guys. So now the question becomes, if you're sitting behind 15, do you trade up to get a guy that actually is of value, a first-round pick? Or do you say, no, well, that's okay, we'll stay where we are, but then you're getting a guy with your first-round pick that's really a second-round grade, second-round talent. And I don't think teams want to do that, but you takes two to dance all the time, right? Now, that being said, fireworks, yeah. I mean, I think we're starting to hear some right now already. We're talking about Jacksonville all week and what they could be doing. And now look at these reports coming out in the last hour and a half or so about the Cleveland Browns possibly trading out of number two. Now, listen, if I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, I understand you need a lot of help. How do you pass on taking Travis Hunter? He is a generational talent to me, all right? Maybe you disagree. I think he's a generational talent. I don't care where you play him. How, if you're the Cleveland Browns, do you not take Travis Hunter? I mean, that haul they have to get for the number two pick, and you can't go down very far, it's got to be monstrous, because I would not be happy if I heard that. And then you think about Jacksonville being the team to go up, because they want Travis Hunter possibly. All right, well, that's interesting, because they're a team that has been linked to Ashton Jeanty. They've been linked to Mason Graham. They've been linked to Tet McMillan. It's just, this is going to be, to me, a really interesting top five if this keeps on this track that we're thinking and hearing about.
Sal, to the Jacksonville point, too, and I know you've talked about it, they are just – and it's partially because they're following now the Rams mold, which is we're not going to do any visits. We're going to be very closed-door policy, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's gone from they're going to take Genty to they really like Tet McMillan, and now all of a sudden they're trying to trade up to go get Travis Hunter. It's curious. I also – the Diane Rossini reports, Chicago, we were talking about in our first segment – are they going to try to trade up to 5 with Jacksonville to try to jump the Raiders to maybe go get Ashton Genty? It does feel like mm-hmm. it almost the draft just kind of has to start and then moves will start being made. That I'm blanking on the GM's name who works for ESPN, but he's mentioned that a lot of these trades, many times they're
Mike Tannenbaum.
Thank you. That these trades mm-hmm. are sort of set up beforehand, and then once the board falls where it may, then those deals kind of get the ball rolling. I wonder if that's maybe something we're going to start seeing as well.
100% has to be that way. Think about it for a second. If you're a team and you have a certain player in mind, you can't make the deal until you know the player's on the board, right? So you can't say we're going to 4, and then the player gets taken at 3, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, you're kind of holding the bag there. Like, what did we do? So these deals, what happens is, and how it works, a GM will tell another GM, hey, when you're on the clock, if our guy is there, we'd like to talk. They don't say who the guy is, though. You know what I mean? So you want to kind of get a feel for, hey, give us a call. And then if the guy's there, then you start those discussions. But that other GM may say, I'm not really, if my guy's there, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm taking him. This happened with the Bills in 2018 with Josh Allen. It was the Denver Broncos. The Bills said to the Denver Broncos, hey, we have a guy in mind. We'd really like to go up to 7. And, if you get there, let us know. And that was the Broncos. Broncos took Chubb, I'm sorry, at 5. Whoever it was, Bucks, right? The Bucks at 7. And that's what happened. And the Bills wound up trading up to that spot where they took Josh Allen. But you got to wait and see where it goes. Rarely do you see a team do it before him. But we did see it, right, in 2018 again. Remember what the Jets did, guys, in 2018. The Jets moved up to 3 with the Colts. Remember that? They got the when they take Sam Darnold. And the reasoning was, I think they were very comfortable with either of the guys they would get, and they kind of knew it would be basically Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold, maybe even Josh Allen, maybe 3 guys, but they were just comfortable being there and knowing we're going to get one of our guys.
Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Obviously, Sal, with everything that's going on with how these trades work and everything like that, one of the things that I know fans in Buffalo definitely don't want to see this year is the dreaded trade down from 30. But that said,
why is that?
I mean, waiting.
They want action, Sal. That's all they want. They want some action.
Why.
I've talked to a lot of fans who will tell you they're very okay with a trade down from 30. It might mean all night you wait. That might be what you're referring to. But I think a lot of fans are very, very comfortable with trading down because of how this draft looks.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that not only is it because of how this draft looks, how deep the board may be by the time they are picking at 30, and also the mystery of what is this quarterback class potentially going to do to affect the end of the first round.
I think the Bills could very well move out of 30. Now, I don't know if they will. We'll see how the board falls. But I think the two most likely teams, if that were to happen to me, would be the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants. Because I don't think they're in a spot where they feel comfortable taking a quarterback at the top of the draft. But they may want a quarterback near the end of the first round. I think that's more valuable. We'll still get our guy at the top. So for Cleveland, that's Travis Hunter, let's say, if they don't move out. And then for the Giants, that's Abdul Carter. Now they take those guys. Now all of a sudden, you get late in the first round, and they're like, okay, now we got our guys. Now let's take some of our capital later, move up to get a quarterback. And then you talk about the Bills not having to go down very far. If the Bills are going to drop from 30, how far are they going to go? Remember last year they went from 28 to 30, and then to 33, or 28 to 31, then 33. Either way, that's what happened. And then on top of that, guys, here's another reason. Remember, you get the fifth-year option on a first-round pick. So if you're the Browns or you're the Giants, let's say, for example, you may want to get back in the first round at the end of it to get your quarterback because you have that fifth-year option, and if you wait until the second round, you don't get that fifth-year option.
Well, now, Sal, last thing for me on that quarterback class, there's been a lot of rumblings today. Shedeur Sanders, is he going to fall out of the first round? It kind of felt like we were starting to lean towards maybe Pittsburgh at 21. Now he maybe is sort of drifting out of there, maybe a second-round pick. Just right now, with about 20-ish minutes before the draft starts, do you think Sanders is a first-round pick? How many quarterbacks do you even see getting taken in the first round?
I do think he goes. I have him in my mock to the Steelers. I think there's way too much there about how much Mike Tomlin really likes him and says we're totally comfortable with him and Deion, and I do think that fits, right? I think Mike Tomlin would have no problem with Shedeur Sanders and his dad and, that kind of dynamic that goes along with it, and they need a quarterback, right? I mean, who's their quarterback right now. Here's the trick. Is it Aaron Rodgers? They don't know that yet. So maybe we find out tonight Aaron Rodgers is going to play, and that throws everything off. If you're the Steelers, I think you almost have to have a sense about Rodgers before you make that decision. I do think Sanders is in play for the New Orleans Saints. That would be at 9. But there's a lot of other directions they can go. As of right now, you're probably looking at Cam Ward, number one. I think Shedeur Sanders is also in play. I do think a team moves back into the first round to take Jackson Dart. So who is that? Is that the Saints? Is that the Browns? Is that the Giants? Is it the Steelers that they don't go with it at 21? So I guess 3. I mean, if you're giving me the over-under on quarterbacks in the first round, I'm going to say 2.5. And I think 3 is very possible, but I think 2 is probably likely.
All right, Sal. Well, enjoy.
I'm not forgetting anybody there.
No, you're good.
Ward, Sanders, and then I think Dart would be the third.
Dart, yeah. And, well, the kid from Louisville, people are saying, could potentially, love him, whatever.
Yeah.
He's like 25 years old or something.
Yeah.
He's the oldest guy ever.
That's right.
Sal, I have one tip for you. As someone who has learned their lesson over and over on draft night, when I eat lots of, especially with the spread you have, wait for the sweets. If you eat them early, you get that stomach ache, and then you're like, kind of, you know, go.
See, I have an advantage here. I'm not a big like dessert guy.
Oh, okay, well then you're fine.
Like, they have some chocolate chip cookies here. I'll eat those, but I don't have to worry about that. So I'm not gonna be doing that normally. But I totally get it. And I have to remember, for me, Nate, it's about pacing myself.
It's a marathon,
I'll be back
right?
Tomorrow, and they're going to have more tomorrow night. It'll be a totally different spread. It'll be like subs or Greek or something like that tomorrow. And then Saturday, twice, you get lunch and dinner.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, listen, Sal, enjoy. You've got a long weekend. We've got a long weekend ahead of us. And look forward to it. I'm sure we'll hear you again at some point tonight. But enjoy, and thanks as always.
Snag us some food.
Yeah, I'll be here for you guys. You need anything, obviously, if something happens with the Bills, I'll jump on with you. And I want to remind everybody, Matt Bove and I will be recording tonight. It might be 2 a.m., but we're going to be recording. It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. I think that last year that's about when we got out of here. We're going to do a pod tonight. It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, so make sure you check it out. We'll upload it tonight before you, and you'll have it for you tomorrow morning.
Awesome. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
All right, Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. What we're going to do now is take a quick timeout on the other side. We're going to hear from Jeremy White, who is live at their draft party, him and Joe, over at Resurgence. $45, pizza, drinks. They got a full setup and a screen set up. So if you're still looking for last-minute plans tonight, there's still room and tickets available over at Resurgence. We've got Jeremy White. He'll join us next on the West Her Hotline. You're listening to 2025 continuing coverage of the NFL Draft here on WGR. All right, welcome back to our continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft here on WGR. Nate Geary, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones along with us here. We're going to go to the Wester Hotline, because joining me live from our WGR live NFL draft party at Resurgence Brewing Company, our morning show host, Jeremy White. Jeremy, why don't we give us a quick breakdown? First and foremost, are there tickets still available in case there's some last-minute people looking to maybe find a place to watch the first round?
Yes, we have some room here. Last year, we sold out ahead of time. People showed up. We have some tickets left, so you could be here. We got a good crowd, so we're going to have a good night here. We're packed. It's $45, and we're up at the top floor where they have, you know, weddings and banquets and beautiful affairs. We're going to be up here watching football players get selected, but having a good time, right? So beer, there's pizza, there's chicken fingers. Nate, there are 3 separate sauce tables with different sauce companies offering sauce. Let me tell you, what's better than 3 sauce tables? So yeah, $45, and it's all you
4 sauce tables. I don't know.
You know what? That's too much. It's too much. So it's $45. All you can drink beer and well drinks up here at Resurgence, and come on, have a good time. Joe's here, Josh and Owen are here as well, and we're eager. We're ready to get a draft pick this year after being shut out last year. This is the ultimate story in resilience from Bills Mafia.
We deserve it, Jeremy, and some chatter of a potential trade up, some chatter about a potential trade back with the Giants. Other than, and I don't want to speak for you, but it sounds like a trade back out of the first round would not be something you're looking at, looking forward to. I would agree with you. I'm looking for them to make a pick tonight. I don't know. As you wait, we've got 10 minutes until the first do 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 goes off, and we all get really excited. what is your dream scenario? You walk out of tonight, you leave Resurgence, you get ready to come back here in the morning. What scenario gets you the giddiest to get behind the microphone tomorrow at 6 a.m.?
All right. Well, I mean, how big am I allowed to dream?
Big, as big as you can.
Travis Hunter's on the Bills.
Okay, well.
Okay, so it's probably, fine. Too big? Okay, fine. I don't know. You know me. Dream scenarios are that Matthew Golden falls and the Bills take him because they love him. Or they take Luther Burton because they love him. I don't really expect that to happen. But, you know, this conversation kind of came up in the morning with Malachi Starks and the idea of a safety. Listen, everybody wants a defensive tackle and or corner because they have needs there. And that's fine, and I don't dispute that. The reason I kind of got interested in the Starks idea is because, for me, what I want out of the draft more than anything and what I want the Bills to find is more players that hit the NFL's top 100, top 50, top 20. And sometimes you got to draft a guy and you say, like, I don't know. We're gonna figure it out. But he's too good to not make this pick. And whether that's Starks or, you know, I don't know, Xavier Watts, like, a safety to me would say something. Rapp can play, and Bishop's a draft pick. But if they were, say, this defense for Sean McDermott's been built on the back end the entire time he's been here. Last year was the worst year they've ever had in that department. Their safeties were not very good. Rapp is a guy that's on, you know, two more years at 3.6. Like, that's not the level of player that you hold a spot for if you have a first-round grade on one of the safeties. So I'm not telling you it's the smartest plan. I'm just telling you that if they did it, it would speak to me. I feel like we'd come in tomorrow and say, they want to build this is a cornerstone piece as opposed to a defensive lineman who could still be a cornerstone piece, but that's just very much easily done as like a plug and play. Whoever they pick there is a starter right away off the bus.
So if you've warmed to the idea of Malachi Starks or one of these sort of freak athletes that fall into your lap at 30, is there a player, an idea that you just know you're going to come in, you're going to get here early because you are excited to yell about it?
Like mad?
Yes. Angry.
I mean, we're not going to talk about a running back.
And we're not going to talk about a tight end. We're not going to do that. So if those are out the window.
Well, there's one guy, there's one position. They've been mocked a linebacker twice now that I've seen in the first round. However, I have a bet with Joe for $20 on that, so I would win $20. The bet is, will they take a linebacker or a running back first in the draft? Ooh. Not first pick, but what comes to their team first, a linebacker or a running back? I have linebacker, he has running back, so I'd be mad to take a running. I'd be mad to take a linebacker in the first round, but I would have $20. So I'd feel a little better about that. But, I mean, come on. I mean, first-round linebacker seems like it wouldn't make much sense. It's a team that plays two linebackers most of the time, and I do think they should draft one and start to plan for the next phase of maybe no more Matt Milano. They've met with Pooh Paul 1,000 times, right? He's not a first-round pick, so I like all the mocks. I see him coming in the third or fourth round, wherever that ends up being. So I think the linebacker spot where they've nabbed their Dorian Williams and Terrell Bernards of the past, I mean, they haven't gone first-round linebacker since Tremaine Edmonds. So, you know, mid-round linebacker seems to make a lot of sense to me. First round, I think we'd all be saying, what are you doing?
I agree with that, Jeremy. All right, so I do have one piece of incredible news and why this weekend is the best weekend on the NFL calendar. Do you want to know why?
Yes, I do.
Why? Oh, wait, I thought you said you knew. Okay. I'm going to break this to everybody. Guess what we won't have to do tonight? We won't have to hear from Gene Steratore one time tonight.
We're
going to get 5 hours of continuing NFL draft coverage on ESPN, on NFL Network, and not one time will we have to hear from Gene.
Yeah, he'll review if the pick was in time. Hold on, guys. Let's take a look at this. The clock appears to go to zero, but the intent to make the pick has already been declared. Yeah, I can't even rule out that Gene Steratore is not at this party. He might be.
He might be there. Yeah, well, he is here. He is here in the studio.
He is here in cardboard.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy. Well, enjoy the draft tonight, and looking forward to hearing your takes on it tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Jeremy. Jeremy White, live from the WGR draft party at Resurgence Brewing Company. It's downtown Chicago Street. Great location. They're upstairs. Still spots available. $45 a ticket. All you can eat pizza and drinks and domestics and Wells, I believe, is the deal going on there. So head there if you're looking for some last-minute plans. We're going to take a timeout, and on the other side, we will have first round coverage because it starts in 5 minutes. And coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft on WGR is presented by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys. Brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Northtown Automotive Group. Northtown Automotive, official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And, of course, by the Quilted Squirrel. Great websites, more leads, real growth for your business. Learn more at tqsmarketing.com.